Like 40 miles of bad road, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, the porta potty of Medicare podcasts. And now, proving he wasn't born in a barn, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, 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 look who's back. Actually, to you listeners, it seems as though I never left, but in reality, I've had a fairly lengthy vacation since the last time we recorded because my erstwhile technical guru has been busy. So he's been goofing off and I've been goofing off, but we're back. As my Canadian nephew probably just told you, I am Doug Jones. This is the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. We are here to help you feel confident and comfortable with the whole idea of Medicare becoming your health insurance plan for now and forever. So the way I inspire confidence is to encourage people to go buy my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024. It is for sale on Amazon.com. And if you don't like shopping at Amazon, you can go to BarnesandNoble.com. And there's a paperback version with colorful illustrations waiting for you, BarnesandNoble.com. But if you go to Amazon.com, you're going to find one of four editions is available for your reading pleasure. You can buy the Audible edition, wherein it is read to you. You can buy the Kindle version, where you can have it sent immediately to your electronic reader. You can buy the paperback version for $9. That's the workhorse of the whole fleet. And then if you really want to impress your friends and relatives, you can buy the hardcover edition for a mere $24. I think that's money well spent, because if you amortize that $24 cost over the lifespan of the book, you're going to find it's got a very small annual cost. And what's going to happen is your friends and relatives will be so impressed that you were so generous to buy a book and gift it to them that you're going to reap the rewards forever. But let's suppose you're interested in Medicare. Well, here's what you do. You sit down with a stiff drink, start reading at the introduction, and by the time you finish, you will have finished your drink. You will become a Medicare expert like you never thought you could be. The world will be full of Medicare experts if everybody reads my book. But if you're the only one that reads it in your household, you will be the reigning Medicare expert in your household. So buy Medicare for the Lazy Man 2024, take it home, peruse the contents, and become a Medicare expert yourself. And speaking of expertise, I have Randy Carson here. He is the reason that we took a whole 10-day hiatus from podcast recording, because he had other responsibilities. And I'm happy to be back in the studio. Randy, how are things going? How was your 10-day hiatus?
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed it. But the best part of it was that we had dinner last night as kind of the wrap up of the whole thing. And I enjoyed the heck out of it. You know, I hadn't had a good steak for so long, I kind of forgot what one tasted like.
Yeah, it was a fun time. Now, you steak aficionados out there might not understand what we're talking about, but we went to a local Texas Roadhouse, and I am never disappointed with their steaks. I always have the 6-ounce filet. And then, of course, I order it cooked to perfection, and they always cook it very close to what I've asked for. And then I smother it. Randy was a witness to my smothering it with condiments, mustard, steak sauce, A1, Worcestershire. And, you know, there are people who say that's a travesty. That's a sin against nature. But in my world, it just heightens the flavors. So we had a good time last night.
Yeah. Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thanks for going. But what I should tell you is that Doug said, hey, while I'm doing this to my steak, could you cover my steak with your hat while I'm working on it? And I said, sure, I'll do that.
I felt silly asking, because your hat normally never leaves your head.
I know. And the times that it has, it's been kind of we won't talk about that.
I've got neighbors across the street. One of them has a collection of hats. I swear to God, he could have many other possessions, but his master sweet closet is taken up with cowboy hats of all sizes and descriptions. And every time I see him, he's got a different one on. Well, his next door neighbor, who is also across the street from me, showed up one night at my house with one of my other neighbor's hats on.
Oh, that's not a good thing.
And we now live by the rule that wearing somebody else's cowboy hat is very much like wearing his underwear.
Yes, yes.
It's to be avoided.
It almost raises to the extremity of cattle rustling.
Yeah, it's certainly frowned upon by your purists out there. But
I was going to tell you, our company, you know, like I always say, our company that came in, I always have somebody eyeballing your book. They were eyeballing your book for 2024. And I said, hey, would you like to have that? And they said, yeah, we would really like to have that. So once again, I have found a source or a destination or a home for your book based on just leaving them out on my coffee table.
Yeah, but now you got to get another one.
I know.
You're bound to have some more guests soon, and they'll be eyeballing the books again.
I know. Well, I was very happy to get that to her.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah, she does have some medical problems, and she probably wants to make sure that she doesn't make any mistakes when she turns 65, that her health insurance will not be inferior.
Right. And that's exactly right, because she's concerned that she might take a left-hand corner someplace, and we certainly don't want that to happen.
People have done that in the past, and in fact, that kind of dips into what I was going to be talking about today, because I, of course, I think I've scheduled that for the next episode recording. Yeah, darn it. I was going to tie that in with some of the misinformation and weird podcasts that I've heard. Not that our podcast doesn't misinform occasionally or isn't weird, but I do want to do a little blurb, but that'll be in the next episode about some podcasts I've been listening to. So anyway, we should probably get on.
Yeah, let's get after it. And I'll go ahead and mute out, and you can march forward smartly.
I shall do that. The content curator got up early today, and the first thing she did was drove her car down to the local mechanic shop and then marched back up the hill because we're getting it ready for the trip back up north. And it's always a sad occasion when springtime comes to Cave Creek, Arizona, and the Joneses have to return to Illinois. This time we're going to be returning to Illinois by way of Austin, Texas, to visit Junior and his lovely bride. So it'll be a lengthier trip, but it will still have the effect of taking us out of our beloved Arizona. And I'm sad to see that. But anyway, she took the car down there, and then she came back and was working on the contents for this particular episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The thing on top of her pile of curated content says diabetic supplies and care. And I think what happened was I pulled this thing out of a magazine or something, because it purports to tell how one insurance company sees the Medicare coverage for those who are diabetic. In other words, the things that you need to deal with when you're diabetic many times are covered by Medicare. Are they covered at 100%? Are they covered at 80%? And so I thought I'd whip through this list only because there are a lot of diabetics out there and it might be helpful for somebody. So it goes on to say Medicare coverage for diabetic supplies and care can be complicated. Some services are Part B, as in boy, services, and are considered diabetic supplies. Some are Part B, as in Bravo, and are considered things like durable medical equipment. And some are Part D, as in Delta. For today's Medicare Monday, this company does Medicare Monday, I guess, periodically. Maybe they do it once a week. We wanted to give you all the know-how to help your clients navigate their diabetic care within the company's, and they say advantage plans, but still, this knowledge is probably universal. So services that are covered under Medicare Part B, as in Bravo, include diabetic supplies, such as blood glucose monitors, and then they have BGM test strips in parentheses here. Lancets, which I think are the things that poke you, poke your skin so you bleed a little bit, and control solution. I don't know what that would be for. And then those are diabetic supplies. And then durable medical equipment, insulin pumps, continuous glucose monitors, CGM, and therapeutic shoes and inserts. I guess that's to help promote circulation, blood circulation in your extremities. Services covered under Medicare Part D as in Delta include prescription medications, including insulin, alcohol swabs, insulin needles, and insulin syringes. So that's the short version of how this company regards the various things that you have to go to Medicare to get reimbursed for if you're a diabetic on Medicare. The next thing is, it's a reference to some changes that Medicare Advantage plans are starting to see. Now, there's a lot of yakking about the government cracking down on Medicare Advantage plans, miscreants, performing sales techniques that are not strictly above board. This has been going on for years. People have been screaming about it for years, and I don't want to point, you know, too many fingers. We've done that in the past, but basically we got a lot of Medicare Advantage plans who are getting very high reimbursement rates from the federal government, thanks to the taxpayers. And all of a sudden it looks like that gravy train may be slowing down. I won't say that it's coming to a halt, but I will say they're talking about penalizing these companies and cranking back on their reimbursement rates. So what they have done, and I read a kind of a joke in a previous episode where the federal government has frozen the commission rates for agents, the very generous commission rates for Medicare Advantage plans, and then went turned around and gave them a $100 increase for the year 2025. So once again, the government is not the ideal arbiter of how to modify people's behavior. However, there are three things going on that I think are indicative of some of the turmoil that's going to happen in Medicare Advantage plans, and it's not bad news at all. First of all, one major company has decided to get out of the drug coverage business. They have decided to stop selling prescription drug plans. The reason they cite is that the government legislation is going to make it more difficult for them to conduct that business in a profitable manner. And they don't like what they see. Now, of course, every company has a bunch of lawyers and a bunch of actuaries. And if they could predict the future accurately, each of these companies would be sitting on top of the world. All they can do is give their best guess. And in the case of Mutual of Omaha, their best guess is that for them to stay in the business of offering prescription drug plans is a big mistake from the point of view of the bottom line. So Mutual of Omaha is the first company I heard of that is getting out of the prescription drug plan business. Last year, there was a company, actually last summer, I found out there's another company called HealthSpring that has gotten out of allowing brokers to help them sell their product. When I called them up and I said, all right, I'm getting certified with all the companies that I need to get certified with, and you guys have a lot of health, drug plans. HealthSpring, are you going to allow me to certify to sell your plans this coming year? And they said, nope, all of our plans are going to be sold by an in-house staff of salaried agents. We're not going to give away any commissions for any sales of our products. So I thought that was an unusual turn of events. And there's another large company, Aetna, one of the biggest. They have changed their fitness benefit to not allow the fitness benefit to use for the purchase of the following items: athletic shoes, camping tents, fishing rods, hiking poles. I guess those are those 6 or 8 foot long sticks that hikers carry around, and then national and state park fees. Apparently, you used to be able to use your Medicare Advantage Aetna fitness benefit for those expenses, and they say now you're not going to be able to use your fitness benefit for those purposes anymore. And they're very circumspect about the reason. They act as though it's the U.S. government that has caused them to make these changes. I don't know if they were in violation of some rule before and they're just coming back into compliance, or if there was something else going on. Very mysterious. I've read about it in a couple of places and I don't understand it. And then we have the other big deal that's going on during the course of 2024. Cigna, another very, very large health insurance company, is selling their Medicare business. They're selling their Medicare business to what amounts to Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Now, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois already owns Blue Cross Blue Shield of Oklahoma, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas, Blue Cross Blue Shield of New Mexico, and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Montana. So they are now pretty much have negotiated a deal with Cigna to purchase their Medicare business. And I have not seen a definition as to whether the Cigna business they're buying includes their Medicare supplements, which would have a direct effect on my clients and my activities, or if it's just the Cigna Medicare Advantage plans. And as loyal listeners to this podcast know, I don't recommend or sell Medicare Advantage plans to my clients, and I always try to discourage them from purchasing Medicare Advantage plans. So it might be that Cigna is only selling their Medicare Advantage business to Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, or it might be that they're selling all of their Medicare business. I just don't know which it is. Anyway, these are things that are happening in the insurance business that may possibly be a result of the economic stress that we're living through right now, which would be the rampant inflation that the keepers of our economy have allowed to occur, actually caused to occur, and the fact that the government is going to be cranking down on the reimbursements that some of these companies are going to be getting. You know, I should remind you that a Medicare Advantage plan is nothing more than a blank check from the federal treasury. And when a company, an insurance company, says, I'm going to sell a Medicare Advantage plan, for every person that they sell a plan to, or issue a plan to, the federal government writes them a check for something on the order of $1,000 to $1,100 to $1,200 a month. And if the federal government says, we're not going to pay that much anymore because you people are not performing duties in a forthright and honest manner, then that means these companies are going to have to be changing some of their benefit structures and dialing back on some of the generosity they've tried to show. So that's, I think, what we're seeing. We're seeing a little bit of the tip of the iceberg that could be indicative of trouble on the horizon for Medicare Advantage plans. Now, this is my favorite time of the podcast episode, when we bow our heads and think happy thoughts and listen to whatever noises may come out of the speaker. So why don't you join me in doing that right now? Ah, happy thoughts. Even Randy was thinking happy thoughts. I think I saw him drawing cartoons or something on his notepad. And when he found that it was time for us to bow our heads in contemplation, it caught him by surprise. So I like to keep him on his toes.
Now it's time to say good. Oh, that's a whole different
to
show.
To all our company. I was a card-carrying member, charter member of the Mickey Mouse Club.
I never got a card, but I used to, Miska, Muska. Oh, I can sing them all. I can sing them all.
Yeah, well, you, you're a lot younger than I am, but when the Mickey Mouse Club was brand new, somebody had the foresight to sign me up as one of the charter members, and I've got an ID card. And
so you're the original mouse.
Well, I don't think they even had the hats then. Oh, they must have, because.
Oh, they must have had hats or something.
All the Mouseketeers were wearing them.
Yeah.
Ooh, Annette was a little hottie back then.
Yeah. I'm telling you, if you could find that hat, you would be very surprised how much that would be worth.
I never got a hat. When we went there, of course, the hats were available. But I think at that point I was in third grade and I was a little too old for the mouse ear hat. But I did get, and I told you this before, went to Disneyland, in Anaheim, California.
Yeah.
And it had rained that day. It was a beautiful, warm winter day, but it rained. And so they most of the rides were closed. I think they told all the operators to stay home because it was, you know, in rain. A lot of that stuff was outside back then. And yeah. They would just shut down most of the stuff going. So I wasn't disappointed at all. I still enjoyed the experience of being there. But of course, I was traveling with my grandparents, which meant I was all dressed up in a monkey suit and I had a tie on and all
well,
that.
Well, there you go. I bet you had patent leather shoes too, didn't you?
They weren't shiny like patent leather shoes, but they were leather shoes. I did not wear tennis shoes anywhere but in the woods in Wayne, Illinois. But anyway, so one of the rides that they reopened after the rain was the African Riverboat ride. And it was very much like the African Queen. And on that ride, a guy drives a riverboat and talks to you about what's going on. We're passing through the jungle now. And then occasionally these horrible, scary wild animals will come up out of the water or come to the shore. And he's got to take his pistol and shoot at them to make sure that they don't attack the people in the boat.
Yeah,
and so he said, look, I'm going to need your help, kid. I was sitting right behind the driver. So he basically had me steer the boat while he shot at the animals. Now, picture that happening today in this woke society that we live in now.
Oh, no.
Nobody's going to be shooting any wild animals, but he was taking pot shots at all these crocodiles and hippopotami and lions and so forth. And it was pretty cool sitting on this guy's lap steering the boat, which, of course, was on a track underneath the water.
Well, That was so cool. I won't go there. I was going to say, what kind of people were popping up out of the water?
Oh, it was all just animals. It wasn't people that he was shooting at. It was.
So were they liberal animals?
Well, very possibly so, because as you know, Dwight wouldn't brook any lefty nonsense.
I know.
Dwight. Well, you know, Dwight. I mean, what's his name? Walt.
Walt.
I should have said Walt. Yeah.
Walt. Dwight must have been like a third cousin or something.
Well, ironically, Dwight was the president at that time, president of the United States. So, but I should have said Walt Disney. He would not brook any liberal nonsense in his theme park.
Wow. Good for him. So shall we move on? Let's move on.
This is an exciting subject I want to touch on here. And the headline is, let's talk about, are you ready for this, Randy? Colorectal screening after age 75. I remember my mother was in the hospital. You could turn off your headphones if you want.
I don't want to hear about this.
I don't blame you. I'm not sure I want to talk about it. My mother was in the hospital, and she was in her middle 80s, and she was fixing to come home. They were going to release her. And she called me in the morning and said, okay, I think they're going to kick me out of here today. And I said, oh, that's wonderful. And she said, but first, they're going to give me a colostomy. And I blew my stack. I hung up on her. I hung up the phone with her, and I called the nurse's station. And I said, what the hell is this? No, not colostomy, colonoscopy. She's confused. And I said, oh, okay, well, good. Go right ahead. But she was over 75. So when I heard the results later on that were fine, they said she'll never have to have another one again. I said, well, let's remember that, because I don't want to have that mistake happen. But the article goes on to say, I'm concerned that the lack of knowledge about the latest screening guidelines coupled with pervasive ageism may lead to poor screening decisions for some older adults. I don't know who's talking about this. I think I got rid of the author's name because I wanted more. I wanted to use fewer sheets of paper to record to print the article on. So it goes on to say, a recent increase in colorectal cancer incidence rates among adults under age 50 continues to receive national attention, but this focus on younger adults overlooks the population at greatest risk for developing colorectal cancer. That would be in adults age 76 and older. In fact, the incidence rate for colorectal cancer among adults between the ages of 75 and 79 is four times that of the adults between ages 45 and 49. Screening otherwise healthy adults for colorectal cancer can detect precancerous polyps or early cancers that show no symptoms. Polyps can be removed when found to keep them from developing into cancer, and early cancers can be treated to avoid more serious illness and death. It's time we took a hard look at the way we consider whether to screen older adults for colorectal cancer, particularly in the growing number of adults over age 75. So a lot of this was highlighted, and I think the content curator prefers that I skip over the things that she did not highlight. So let me skip down here. The latest guidelines for colorectal cancer screening issued by a joint task force of three leading medical organizations differ by age. So the latest guidelines differ by age. Average risk adults between the ages of 45 and 75 should be screened. Let's see, they should be screened, and adults 86 and older should not. Between the ages of 76 and 85, the guidelines state that a decision on whether to screen somebody should be specific to that person and made jointly with their provider. After age 75, people who have not been screened in the past for colorectal cancer are the most likely to benefit from screening. To be sure, screening for colorectal cancer, particularly colonoscopy, poses some risks, and the potential benefits of screening may not always outweigh potential harms for older adults. The guidelines suggest a few factors to consider when making screening decisions for older adults. After age 75, people who have not been screened in the past for colorectal cancer are the most likely to benefit from the screening. I think we said that earlier. In 2021, 17% of adults between ages 65 and 75 were not up to date with the recommended cancer screening. Life expectancy is another consideration, taking into account a person's overall health based on a person's sex, screening history, and a measure of health status. An international team of researchers estimated that the appropriate age to stop screening for colorectal cancer, the point at which the risk of screening outweighs the benefits, could range anywhere from 66 to 90. Oh, that's very helpful. Other considerations for screening decisions include cancer risk, each such as family history or personal history of polyps. Other considerations for screening decisions include cancer risk. Okay, so they printed it twice. Family history or personal history of polyps, and perhaps the most important consideration is patient preference, what the person wants. It is, after all, their body and their life. Older adults and their healthcare providers need adequate knowledge, tools, and time for informed conversations about screening. Greater public awareness about the latest screening recommendations after age 65 is also needed. When a health provider tells the adult over age 75 that they're too old to be screened for colorectal cancer or that it's time for a colonoscopy, an appropriate response should be, "Let's talk about that decision." Well, I'm with Randy. I don't really want to talk about it. If it's important to do it, I'll go ahead because I know I'll be happy if there's something scary that's found. But in reality, though, I'm inclined to think that it's one that we don't want to sit around and chit-chat about. The people with end-stage renal disease. Here's a subject that is kind of in flux because it used to be that end-stage renal disease, those are people on dialysis, they were not accepted for Medicare Advantage plans, and that was one of the few criteria that Medicare Advantage plans could refuse to accept somebody based on their medical condition. And that rule changed a couple of years ago. Now Medicare Advantage plans do accept people with end-stage renal disease. So we have the body of the article here. Most people become eligible for Medicare based on age, but turning 65 isn't the only way to qualify. Millions of people below age 65 become eligible for Medicare based on a disability. End-stage renal disease is one condition that can make you eligible for Medicare based on disability. More than 500,000 Medicare beneficiaries have end-stage renal disease, and about half of those are under age 65. So if you have end-stage renal disease, your kidneys no longer function well enough to meet your needs without dialysis or a kidney transplant, according to the Mayo Clinic. It is sometimes also referred to as permanent kidney failure. If you have ESRD, you can qualify for Medicare regardless of age, and if your kidneys no longer work, you need regular dialysis or have had a kidney transplant. One of the following is true, according to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Service. Either A, you've worked the required amount of time under Social Security as a government employee, or you're already getting or are eligible for Social Security, or you're the spouse or dependent child of a person who meets either of those requirements. There are multiple ways to meet the Social Security work requirements depending on your work history and the onset of your ESRD. So what does Medicare cost with ESRD? You're still responsible for the costs of Medicare coverage, such as premiums and deductibles. Most people get Medicare Part A for free, but Medicare Part B has a monthly premium of about $175. If you choose a Medicare Advantage plan or standalone Medicare Part D prescription drug plan, you also have premiums and certain deductibles or co-pays and co-insurance depending on the plan. When does Medicare coverage for ESRD start? Most people who qualify for Medicare based on disability have to wait 24 months for coverage to take effect. That is not the case if you have end-stage renal disease. In fact, your Medicare coverage can be retroactive to before you applied. If you become eligible for Medicare based on end-stage renal disease but don't apply right away, your coverage can start up to 12 months before the month you apply. Medicare coverage for most people with end-stage renal disease starts on the first day of your fourth month of dialysis. If you train to do home dialysis, you might be able to qualify for coverage that much sooner. If you're getting a kidney transplant, Medicare coverage starts the month you're admitted to the hospital for the transplant or related pre-transplant services. Your transplant must be scheduled for the month that you're admitted or for the next 2 months. If the transplant is delayed or rescheduled more than 2 months out, your Medicare coverage can start 2 months before the transplant. When does Medicare coverage for end-stage renal disease end? If you qualify for Medicare only because of end-stage renal disease, your coverage can end if you stop getting dialysis or after a transplant. So that's the short version of what happens if you've got end-stage renal disease. And that's also going to wrap it up for this episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Randy always has a few words of wisdom to leave us with, and I'm hoping that he'll share those with us today.
I've got a few. I think seven. Seven as a matter of fact.
I'll be counting. I've got over seven fingers, so I'll be able to count every one of them.
Oh, excuse me. Well, don't forget, if you want to reach out to Doug, you can do that by writing him at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Don't forget, he is licensed nationwide to help you with your Medicare supplement planning. Check us out at the website, medicareforthelazyman.com. Got some good stuff going on there. We would also appreciate it in your runnings around the web if you find a place to drop a couple reviews for the content that Doug produces on Medicare for the Lazy Man. It would be very much appreciated. Last but certainly not least, thank you for joining us. You could have been 17 other places, but you weren't. You were with us, and we certainly want you right here in that spot in the future. So, long story short, you have listened to Doug Jones for about 32 and a half minutes, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma. No more. He's living in the high country behind Cave Creek, Arizona, and I'm going to start him out easy today. I'm going to put him in at about 7,200 feet in his fortress of solitude.
Wow, that's exactly the elevation of Gallup, New Mexico. So I will be enjoying myself. I might do a rain dance, or at least I will be thanking the audience for joining us. And thank you for thinking about coming back for our next episode. We'll hold the door open for you. Goodbye.